Good morning. Okay, so I have the privilege of talking about the development of our nursing scorecard to track population metrics for care coordination. My name is Mary Blanks, and I actually started as a family nurse practitioner working in primary care at this very same federally qualified health center, and then recently, about a year and a half ago, transitioned into the role of the chief nursing officer, really sort of taking the helm in terms of promoting team-based care and ensuring that our nurses and our medical assistants had trackable data so that their contribution would not be lost in the work of primary care. I have no relationships to disclose. So our objective for this session, we want to describe how our nursing scorecard can track population metrics for individual nurses who provide care coordination to high-risk patients, specifically in primary care. Our goal, of course, is that, you know, whenever you roll out any new large program, you need to make sure that you are continuing to give actionable data to your team so they can really see all of the hard work that they're doing in terms of implementation and how that really translates into, as you said, the return on investment. How does this impact patient care? How does this impact the work that I'm doing? How can you quantify the efforts that I'm putting in? So our solution was, of course, to look at a nursing scorecard. So we're going to talk a little bit about, first, why a scorecard, and then go into a discussion of the development of the scorecard. I'll go through some of the print screens of the scorecard and then talk a little bit about lessons learned. Just as a reminder in terms of care coordination, a lot of people, I think it's such a simple phrase, but there's really so much that goes into really supporting this type of a program. And a lot of the models that you see in the literature, as Kathleen had pointed out, are very focused on sort of the care manager or the care coordinator role as an individual siloed position. But the reality is that in primary care, continuity and relationship is really sort of at the cornerstone of patient-centered medical home status. So really ensuring that our patients are getting to know sort of their one primary care nurse who is the face that administers their medications or administers their immunizations or gives them the patient education on how to use their basal insulin. It's important that that really is the face that they see as they're learning to self-manage their chronic disease, as they're attempting to quit smoking, and all of the other interventions that we put into place. Of course, nurses are not really trained in a primary care model. We know in academia, nurses are really trained to an acute care model. So when they walk into our doors interested in functioning within the concept of a federally qualified health center and within primary care, it typically takes anywhere from 6 to 8 months to really train them to be able to function as a primary care nurse and to just sort of cover all the different domains that walk through our door. I always joke as a primary care provider that we are, a jack of all trades and a master of none. It's very challenging because the depth and breadth of knowledge that you need as a primary care nurse is rather extreme. And we all know that as you're implementing models of care, support and ongoing education and leadership is extremely important. So why a scorecard? In sort of doing a basic review of the data, I've sort of summarized some of the main reasons for why a scorecard, and these were the reasons that we used to really decide this is what we were going to do. So first of all, really a focus on live data. I wanted nurses to be able to look at these measures over time and begin to see those numbers creep up, creep down, move sideways, whatever it is, to really be able to see the narrative that their data would display about the work that they're doing. We talk all the time in nursing about a narrative, and we talk about these individual patient scenarios. But again, we're really moving into the fields of nursing informatics and other areas where we really focus on what's the story or the narrative that the data shows about the good work that we do every day. Our scorecard updates just as our dashboard does every 24 hours as our data warehouse refreshes, so to speak. We wanted to continue to reinforce a culture of measurement, where our teams are really comfortable using data. It's not punitive, it's not critical, but it's an everyday part of our culture that as I'm doing something, that I then have the opportunity to then look and see how this reflects upon the patients that I'm caring for. We wanted to make sure that we were including both clinical and operational measures. Of course, that's sort of the healthy marriage and administration, right? You have to be able to be bilingual, so to speak, to be able to speak financial and operational languages as well as clinical languages. So how do we deliver clinically relevant care but ensure that we are actually seeing the patients that we want to see and ensuring that it's the right patient at the right time with the right care delivery? It has to be a high-level summary. Again, I could probably think of about 200 different measures that I could put on a scorecard, but again, it's really meant to be a very high-level summary specific to the core program objectives that we have. It should be a framework for the nurses in terms of decision making. So as they look at their data and they look at sort of how their panel is doing, that they could be able to strategically decide how they're going to allocate their resources and allocate their time and who is that next population that they're going to outreach to so that they can really be proactive in the care that they're delivering. I know many of us in this room, as we're looking at magnet models and other models of nursing, again, we don't want it to be order driven. We want our nurses to be proactive and be able to sort of do that critical thinking and decision making right there in the moment. So to have that data and ensure that they understand the pathways and the strategies that they need in order to be able to make critical decisions and allocate their resources. It has to be focused on learning and continuous improvement. So as we sort of look at the data as a group to be able to say, okay, I think the nurses need additional support in this one area as we continue to look across. There has to be some greater management accountability. So again, oftentimes performance appraisals for nurses come down to a lot of qualitative measures. But how do we begin to be able to look at nursing performance and be able to provide them with quantitative measures that really show them the responsibility that they have over, for example, their panel's hypertension control rate? That it's not just the provider at the end of the day that really has ownership over that data. And then, of course, support staff in understanding the value of their work. Again, the more we're tied to our mission, the more that we see the impact to our patients, the more we're going to be promoted to continue on in this endeavor. In terms of developing our care coordination scorecard, obviously this was really built in tandem along with our dashboard and along with the other tools as we really sort of defined what these core objectives were going to be. We had to define what a potential care coordination patient was, which I'll review that algorithm in a moment, and then really choose discipline-specific measures. I don't want anything sitting on a scorecard for my nurses that doesn't actually apply to the nurses. It has to be something that they can move the needle on, that they are responsible for, and that they see their role in that impact. Again, tracking core program objectives over time, linking data with desired responses, ensuring that it is usable, and then allocating them dedicated time for use. As Kathleen had pointed out, our nurses are juggling multiple things during the day. We are in a ratio of one nurse to two primary care providers, and each primary care provider balances anywhere from about 1,000 patients to 1,400 patients, depending upon their particular panel size. So again, in one nurse will share two panels, so upwards of about 2,400 patients. And again, as those providers are seeing patients, they'll be intervening at the point of care with those two providers and their patients, as well as having their own independent nursing schedule where they are completing standing order visits, as well as other delegated visits as well. So again, where does care management fit, and how do we provide them the time so that they can really excel at this? As you look at this list, of course, you see that more than half of these really look into the design and implementation. And I think a lot in the literature, you'll see scorecards, dashboards, all of these sort of informatics interventions tend to fail because oftentimes they really focus on the data itself. And the data is absolutely important, and your team wants to see good data, so scrubbing is really important. But at the end of the day, if the design of how it is sort of put into place for your nurses and the way that you implement it and support their use of it is equally as critical. So just looking at sort of the first area of the scorecard, really what we wanted to do at first was really to get an idea of what is even possible. There really is not a lot of literature out there for a sort of shared role. So how do we understand sort of the nursing FTE structure and how this supports care management patients? So can one nurse support 100 patients or 200 patients or 30 patients? Who knows, right? So this is part of what we really needed to find out. And again, even with our algorithm, so potential care management patients, our transition patients, high ED utilizers, uncontrolled diabetics, uncontrolled hypertensives, and 4+ chronic conditions. As we look at this sort of potential list of patients, you know, in a panel of anywhere from 12 to 1,400 patients, you can end up with anywhere for about 2 to 400 of those patients varying, you know, based on, you know, most of the providers that we have. We have about 60 primary care providers, and sort of looking at all of their data, it's anywhere from about 2 to 400 eligible patients at any given moment. But again, are all of those patients good care management patients? And the answer really is no, right? We want activated patients. We want patients that are engaging, that really do see themselves as a member of the team. and someone who's really ready to engage in self-management. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't continue our work of motivational interviewing and engaging with them in the primary care panel, but again, the act of enrolling a patient in care management means that patient and I are agreeing and contracting that we're going on a different journey together. So just as you look at this, each set of two columns is one nurse, so you can see sort of the overall of her panel, the potential patients, so how many percent does she have actually enrolled currently in care management with the overall percentage, and then the percent total patients ever enrolled over the potential. So I think, you know, one of the clear things that I really wanted to be able to see in this is that, in fact, patients are being enrolled, and in fact, they are being discharged from care management. And that might seem like a very simple concept, but again, that tells me that there has been saturation of the sort of model of care management, that their nurses are understanding who are good patients to enroll and understanding that not every patient stays in care management forever. This is just another way to look at it. So Fairfield County is our first sort of set of sites that went live. So you can really sort of see over time, this is total patients enrolled in care management, so this does not include the discharges. But as you're looking, again, I'm seeing how nurses are constantly ongoing and enrolling patients in care management. And you can sort of see over time that number does tend to sort of trail off a little bit. And the hope is, right, is that the data will actually be what will inform us of what an appropriate panel size should be for a primary care nurse who is also juggling the other things on her plate. So that is really the purpose of us tracking this particular data. And you might see those two lines on the bottom and say, what's going on with that nurse down there? But again, it's the institutional knowledge that really supports the data that we're looking at. So we have a provider who is shared FTE, half in one site and half in another. So this is basically a half panel supported by two different nurses. So again, understanding the story behind your data is extremely important. Now, if we look at Fairfield County again, this is current enrollment to date. So you can really see that over time, their lines have really begun to level off. So again, you know, the question really becomes, are we really figuring out and getting to that point where, you know, somewhere between, I don't know, 30 to 60 patients is really what is sort of the ripe number of patients that a nurse can really care manage. As I look at another site, this was our last site to go live. This is New London. New London County sites, you can see, again, there are total care management patients being enrolled. You can see them increasing over time, but again, they haven't really gotten to the place that Fairfield County has. So having the stepwise design implementation, we were able to really see sort of at what pace do we imagine that nurses are going to develop this program and at what pace are they going to be enrolling patients into care management. You can see even when we have a new nurse, the sort of lower nurse who's enrolled four patients, brand new nurse to the agency who's being trained, who's just enrolled some of her very new patients. So again, really the story behind the data. In terms of New London County current enrollment to date, again, you can see that by and large the nurses are continuing to increase over time. So they have not leveled off yet. So again, we'll continue to watch the data and continue to see over time sort of where we're going to end up and really being able to estimate what is the expectation that I can give to my nurses to say this is roughly how many patients you should be managing at any given moment. Lastly, I want to look at this section of the scorecard and really have highlighted by nurse, so you can really see some of the other data that they have. So as you look, for example, let's look at the nurse in red, her current panel size overall between her two providers. So the top line that's in bold is really sort of the combined panels, and then her two providers that she supports listed below that. You can see sort of her panel size with both providers, her total care management patients, so she has, in fact, discharged patients. And then looking at sort of the potential care management patients in that panel. Total number of TEs, really what this refers to is in eClinical Works. Those are telephone encounters. This is really where we track some of the administrative work. So again, my expectation as a chief nursing officer is that for every patient that they're enrolling, they should have an active telephone encounter where they're documenting information. So I can do a double check to say, does this data actually match and add up? As we look at the hypertension-controlled patient and overall hypertension patients, again, actionable data to the nurse. So this nurse can really look at her two providers and say, my first provider has a 78% hypertension control rate. My other provider has a 61.1% hypertension control rate. So I now can be proactive to say, let's go to my population management hypertension dashboard and say, I'm going to outreach to those patients. So I, as a nurse, make an independent decision and say that I am going to now allocate my resources specifically to this panel so that I can continue to watch that percentage increase. And the same for diabetes management. Lastly, you can see there is no transition management data yet on this dashboard, and I think Kathleen had sort of alluded to this earlier, that transition is really hard to capture in data. So the data that we use right now to track transitions is based on the documents that come into the health record as well as claims data. And as you know, for even one admission, there's multiple notes that come into the health record as well as multiple claims associated with it. So again, how do we determine what the time frame is in terms of what constitutes one transition? So we're continuing that discussion. So just to breeze through our lessons learned, and then we'll take a few questions. Again, the focus can't just be on the data, but really focusing on design and implementation. You always want to include your frontline team members in every single step along the way so that they understand that this is actually really a transition in their job description, that they are going to continue to use data, that it's going to be an environment of data, and that they're going to actually be focused and responsible for helping to move the needle on these measures. You want to make sure that there's ongoing improvement in the design, in the measures, in the data, as well as ongoing training and support. And then it's really important that you actually do a full evaluation. So we are sort of in the midst of that evaluation, looking at usability and getting feedback from our teams. And then, of course, lastly, make sure that you celebrate every single success. So with that, thank you. And I'll take any questions. Go ahead. It was a little bit challenging at first. I think a lot of the nurses, sort of whenever you roll out anything new, they tend to see it as, this is more work. So again, it was really sort of my discussion with them that you're really doing a lot of this work already. But now I want to be able to show it up there and say, this is what my nurses are doing. So I'm asking you to code it differently. I'm asking you to enter it a little bit differently, because before it wasn't ever structured. The nurses were doing it, but their work was lost in the midst of the provider note. So at the end of the day, it was the provider who was really driving the hypertension control rate, the diabetes control rate, but I wanted them to be able to take ownership of it. The good news is that typically primary care nurses are actually really excited about that, and one of the things that they enjoy in primary care is sort of the independence of using standing orders and all these other things. So again, sort of once we created that culture and continued to remind them along the way, it was a lot less painful. You're welcome. Any other questions? Go ahead. Not at this point. Not at this point. So right now we're really looking at hypertension control and diabetes control, which, again, that's related to A1C, and hypertension control is related to the actual blood pressure measure. From there, if they actually see the overall rate as sort of going down over time, we actually have population management dashboards that they can go in, look up their provider, which actually shows by patient data, which they can sort to say, okay, who are my outliers of A1C? So again, the scorecard is sort of the high level. If I identify that my provider's numbers are going down, now I can go to that population management dashboard, spend some focus time to say, okay, who are the individual patients that I'm going to intervene with? So. Yeah, so that was actually in the New London County slide, and that was number of patients enrolled, and part of that was actually because there was a panel switch for the providers, so that nurse's panel was actually then reallocated to another nurse. So it sort of magically in that moment sort of shifted over to another nurse. So again, having the institutional knowledge, great pickup in looking at the data. And I think we had one last question up here.
Mm-hmm. The nurse, did you have any other ways besides the telephone contact of kind of capturing that interaction with the patient?
Yeah, so really the initial contact is really usually by the phone, mainly just because oftentimes these patients are newly discharged from the hospital. Of course, if it's your out-of-control diabetics, out-of-control hypertensives, on all of our dashboards, it shows when their next medical appointment is. So oftentimes, and even on the care management dashboard, you can see sort of their next dental, their next behavioral health, next primary care appointment. So it's really easy to say, oh, this patient is coming in 2 days to see the dentist. Let me set myself a little Outlook reminder so I, take a walk over. over to dental and say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I need to talk to you about X. So again, you know, we give a lot of flexibility to the nurses and make sure that they have a lot of data in their hands and really encourage face-to-face, because I think that that's really important. It improves buy-in for the patient and, you know, really helps them to feel like they're engaging and sort of consenting to the process of care management. So.